God, are you glad to be in church this morning? Amen. I just seen if you were awake. All right. Are you glad to be in church? Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be in church morning, afternoon, evening, middle of the night. Amen. I like nothing more since the day that I became a Christian. There was no greater joy for me than to be in church. Amen. To be with God's people, to be fellowshipping with God's people and hearing the preaching of the Word of God and hearing music. Amen. I'm a little bit biased, but I liked that duet this morning, this afternoon. Amen. I'm just not going to say anything. It spoke to my heart. It was a wonderful song. It's a blessing to hear good music. Amen. It's a blessing to hear music that's uplifting. And when we think about our desires and our desires to be in church and our desires to be here. And by the way, I hope you had a desire to be here today and you didn't come just because you heard there's pancakes afterwards or because mom or dad or your wife or your husband made you get out of bed. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you better be out of bed, amen? And we have come together, I believe, here this afternoon because we have a desire to be here. And I want to speak today on the subject of the pursuit of God. The pursuit of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 13. We'll look at those verses in a moment. About 100 years ago, there was a man by the name of Roger Babson, and he was a historian. And Roger Babson visited the president of Argentina one day, and as they were meeting together, the president of Argentina asked this historian, he said this, "You are a student of history." He said, "Will you please tell me why it is that South America, with their unlimited resources, and having been settled earlier than North America, has nevertheless made much slower progress in civilization and material prosperity?" Well, that was his question. Well, Mr. Babson threw the question back upon the president, saying this, "Mr. President, you evidently have studied this question yourself. And I would be interested, to know your answer to that question." The president of Argentina replied that he thought the explanation lay in the fact that South America was settled by the Spaniards who came there seeking gold, while North America was settled by the pilgrims who came seeking God. My prayer this afternoon is that each and every one of us has come here seeking God. You know, when we look at what this world has to offer us today, there's a lot of different ways that we can spend our time. God knows that the world is opposed to Christianity. God knows that the world will do everything it can to draw your attention and your, if you will, your affections and everything that you have, every pursuit that you have, the devil will try and draw it away so that we are no longer pursuing God. There's a lot of things in the world that we could look for, we could want and desire. You know, there's a lot of money to be made out there seeking people. You're saying, "What do you mean by that?" You know, there's a lot of wanted people in this world. A list that was compiled a few years ago of the most wanted people in the world. Number one was Joaquin Guzman. He was a Mexican drug lord. Alman Az-Zawahiri. Dawood Ibrahim. And I tell you, I had to work for like hours last night trying to work on some of these names. They're quite interesting. Samian Mogilevich. Nasser al-Wahishi, Matteo Messina Denaro, Almazhad Takht-Tahunov, Felician Kagu... why can't there be a John Smith in here? Felician Kabuga, Joseph Kony, and Daku Usmanov. Now, each one of these individuals are one of the top 10 most wanted people in the world. They're all wanted for different reasons, and every one of them has a reward for their capture. Now, their reward for their capture is anywhere between about $1 million and about $25 million. If you were to take all 10 of those individuals and you were to total or sum up the amount of the bounty or the reward for their capture, you'd be looking at maybe about $100 million. You're saying, man, why isn't somebody found them? Why isn't somebody pursuing them? Some of them have been only wanted for a few years. Others have been wanted for 30 years and never been captured. And we've got to ask ourselves two questions when it comes to pursuing, when it comes to our desires and what we as individuals are pursuing. We've got to ask ourselves two questions when we consider what we are after. Number one, how much effort should go into the pursuit? When you look at any one of these individuals, you know, one guy may be worth $100 million, or $1 million. How much effort are we going to put into capturing him? One of these other guys may be worth $25 million. We might say, you know what, preacher, we could put a little more effort into trying to find that guy. You know, if you were to find the list and of exactly how much each one of these individuals was worth, you'd probably say, let's not waste our time with a guy that's only worth $1 million. Let's go for the $25 million. Well, he might be worth $25 million because he's got a lot more guns protecting him. The second question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is the value of the reward? What is the value of the reward? I believe, and when I say this, I say it loosely. I sometimes pity. I pity our generation. I pity, you know, the day and age that we live in. To think, you know, what's gone on in our country in the last few years, and things that have been legalized, and things that are being put down, and just what's going on in Christianity. And I think, you know, you can kind of get a woe is me. But I do know one thing for sure, you know, and I can't say things are worse today than they were 50 years ago, 100 years ago, or 200 years ago. The devil has always had something to attack the Christian with. He has always had something to attack the church with, some heresy, some new trend. But God has always kept a remnant of true Bible-believing Christians. And I praise God for that. Amen. But you know what? We live, and I can say this with all assurity, we live in a day of complacency when it comes to our spiritual life and our relationship with God. I know one thing. I'll be honest with you. I've been an independent Baptist for about 23 years. I've been saved for about 23 years. And I became a Baptist, an independent Baptist, by conviction, by reading my Bible, by reading what churches believe. I looked through all the encyclopedias and studied what all the churches believe, and why I studied the Bible. I compared things to the Bible. I spent literally years, not just months or days, I literally spent years trying to find what I believe was biblical Christianity. And I look back now at 23 years at what's going on in our churches and in our, and listen, when I say our churches, I'm talking about the people. The people. And to me, and you know, the devil has got us, I'm telling you, he's got us handcuffed and shackled. And he's got us so far away from God, because we've got so much today. We've got so much technology. And you know, I saw that there was a movie, Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451. Has anybody ever read the book? Did you ever read the book, or I don't know if the movie's coming out or it's going to come out. I read the book when I was in high school. And it was kind of like George Orwell's 1984, the same sort of spin-off. Fahrenheit 451 is the burning point of paper. And so Ray Bradbury wrote this book about a time in the future when books would be illegal. And it was an interesting, I'll never forget the book. I literally read it when I was, well, it was probably 30, 40, almost 40 years ago. But I remember it like it was yesterday. And these guys, these people, it was all mass transit, and they would have screens everywhere in the trains. And when they got home, you talk about a strange concept. They got home, and they went into their living room. They had televisions the size of the wall. Wow. So they got home, and they had television on this wall. This wall was a television, and this wall was a television, and this wall was a television, and they had to sit there, and they had to watch, the government's brainwashing, propaganda. And they had this little robotic dog. They had people in pursuit of anyone who was caught with books. And they had this little dog, robotic dog, that had a way of killing people if it found them with books, a lethal injection. And, the idea there in the whole thing was that they didn't want people thinking for themselves. And so when they found somebody that had books or the Bible or anything, any literature, they would burn it. And that's why the book was called Fahrenheit 451. And I think in our society today, it doesn't matter where we go. We have screens in front of us everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. You go to a restaurant, they got screens everywhere. You go to a hockey game, they got screens on the scoreboard. We can't get away from screens. And again, when I come down here, by the way, that usually means I'm not going to be preaching out of my notes anymore. And so this isn't in my notes, but you know what? I may have said it a few months ago, but I'm going to say it again, man. We got a world today that wants to pull us away from God, and it's doing it. And we have churches that are filled with people that aren't pursuing God. We have homes today that are filled with people who have got more important things to do than to pursue God and to consider their relationship with God and consider how their lives should count for God. So we've got to ask ourselves the question, what are we pursuing? Man, I should have saved this for the altar call. What are we pursuing? Have we thought about how much effort should go into our pursuit of God? Listen, and folks, we've got to ask ourselves the question right now. How close to God are we right now? How close to God are you? How close to God are you? Can you say, preacher, there was a time in my life, maybe a few years ago, when I was closer to God, or a few months ago, or whatever it may be, but I've drifted away. I'm no longer walking with God. And the problems, we talk about all the decline. And again, I've said in 23 years, I've seen decline. And the problem isn't necessarily maybe that those things aren't being preached against anymore, or this or that, or today's generation this, or today's generation that. The problem is that we have people, we have Christians who aren't close to God. And listen, the problem is, and the reason why churches are becoming worldly, and the reason why Christians are becoming worldly, is because we're no longer close to God. Listen, the closer we get to God, the farther away from this world we're going to want to be. End of story. And that's our problem. We've got to get close to God again. How much effort should go into it? Well, I think we should put a little bit more effort into our pursuit of God than we should this material world. And what is the value of the reward? What do we get out of being close to God? What are we going to get if we pursue God and we find God? Well, Lord willing, we'll look at that as we develop here. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 13, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye search for me with all your hearts." Each one of us should be in pursuit of God. Each one of us should be seeking and searching with all of our hearts. Let's pray before we get into the message. Father, thank you for this time together today. And God, I thank you that we have the Word of God that although we get off course, it can get us back on course. And although the world may draw us away, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, should desire to bring us back to you. Give us that desire, and just make us all that we can be for your glory. So I pray as we look into the Word of God today that the Holy Spirit would work in hearts. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you and give you all of the glory, all of the honor. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. We've got to, you know, search, if you will. We've got to search for truth. You know, God has to be found before he can be known and we can enjoy God. And yes, you can enjoy God. Amen. The relationship that we can have and the blessings of knowing God and walking with God every day are incredible, and they are more than this world could ever offer us. God is not hard to find. He is not hard to find. There was a man by the name of George Washington Carver, and most of us have probably heard of George Washington Carver. He was one of the greatest scientists of his day. And George Washington Carver was a very godly man. He had great expectations, and he desired to be the best that he could be in the field of science and discovery. He had many prayers. He had many prayers answered, and God certainly was blessing his work. Carver attributed all of his discoveries, every one of them, to God. And as a godly man, one day he fell on his knees and he prayed to God and he said, "God, I want you to explain to me the universe. I want you to explain to me how it works and its expanse and all of the things, the mysteries of the universe." He said, "I want you to tell me and show me these great mysteries." And I don't believe it was an audible voice, but George Washington Carver said that God told him that it was too big of a thing. It was too much. It was too much. And so he looked in a different direction. What would God have me to discover? And here was a man with big expectations, and here was a man with big dreams and a big desire to serve God and to use his scientific discoveries for God's honor and God's glory. And you know where God led him? To the peanut. He said, "I want you to study the peanut." Now, you want to talk about a blow to your ego. He wanted the universe and he got a peanut. Well, he said, "All right, God, if you want me to study the peanut, I'm going to study the peanut." And here, this insignificant little nut, well, it's not really a nut, this little thing that people didn't really give a whole lot of attention to, George Washington Carver unlocked over 300 made 300 scientific discoveries about a simple little peanut. These were valuable and amazing results. And at the end of it all, believing that God would reward his faith and his efforts, said, without God to draw aside the curtain, he said, I would be helpless. I would be helpless. In a day when people deny truth or even the existence of absolute truth, absolute reality, we live in a postmodern day when there is no truth. George Washington Carver believed in truth, and he believed that God would show him the truth because he believed that God was infinite, and he believed that God had directed him in a certain way, and God showed him that if he did what would look frivolous and trivial to look into the attributes of a peanut, but the discoveries were there to be found. And God says to us that we are to seek out God and we are to search out God and we are to desire to know the inner truths and the inner workings of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. And God desires us to search out God, to look into God's Word and to discover truths about God. And by the way, you know, when we think about discovery, when we think about the ability to search the Scriptures and the Word of God, it's a landmine field. But no, it's not landmines. It's a field that's laden with hidden treasure, buried treasure. And God says, I want you to take a shovel. I want you to go out into the field because in this book, there are all kinds of little treasures to be discovered. And by the way, I'm not talking about new revelation. Okay? I'm talking about truths that have already been discovered by other people, but maybe not discovered by you. And God says, I want you to get that shovel and I want you to dig in here. And you know, one of the most exciting things for me as a Christian is when I start digging into the Word of God and I see that little glimpse of gold in there. And I see that, you know, back in the day, back down in Texas, you know, still lots of oil being pumped out of the ground down there, you know, and somebody used to hit a gusher and that oil used to come flying through the ground at about, 200 or 300 PSI or maybe more. I know you just don't want to be standing over the hole when it comes through. You'll be going for a ride. And that little glimpse of gold or that gusher of oil that comes out, you know what? When the Bible speaks to you and when you discover something new about God and when you're learning a new truth about God, you know what? I think we should be just as excited about those people that are finding treasure. Amen? It's an exciting thing to learn and to grow and to find something new about God, new to you about God. And so many amazing things. But the Bible says that we need to search it out. We need to discover it. We need to seek with all of our hearts. I'm going to read some verses here in Acts chapter 17. The Bible says that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him. You know, that's an interesting statement there. And I don't have time to develop it too much, but the Bible says they might feel after Him. You know, that's like putting out a feeler. You know what I mean? People say you shouldn't go by your feelings, but the Bible actually has a lot of things interesting to say about our feelings. You know, put out a feeler and just search. Search for God. Search for God with all of your hearts. And that's what He's saying here. And find Him, though He be not far from every one of us, for in Him we live and we move and we have our being. What the apostle is saying here, what Luke is saying in Acts chapter 17 is even unsaved people, they're not too far from God. Because even the lives of unsaved people are consisted by God. Not only did God give them life, but God is the keeper and the sustainer of life. And he says, listen, we need to pray for people. We need to pray for these people that they might put out those feelers to search for God and find him, because God is not far from, he's not far from any of us. And listen, as Christians, you know what? You may say, Pastor, I'm going to be the one this morning, or the one or the few that's going to say, listen, I'm going to be honest and say, I'm not close to God. But you know what? God is not far away. God is not far away. He can be found. The Bible there goes on to say, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. There's a couple of problems that hinder our pursuit of God. This natural nearness that everyone has can be hindered by a couple of different things. First of all, it can be hindered by sin. You're saying, Preacher, I'm not close to God. I've tried to find God. Well, you might be hindered by sin. If you've got sin in your life or something that you know that you need to deal with, it needs to be removed. Because if it's not, it will remove us from the presence of God and we will suffer, if you will, spiritual banishment. We can't expect to be living close to God when our hearts are so far from Him and we are living lives that are not pleasing to Him. Secondly, the second limitation we may have when it comes to seeking God is our own human limitations. I know I've used this illustration before, but Tertullian was an early church father, a great theological mind, and he used to go down to the lake, down to the sea, sorry, and he would go to the sea and meditate upon God. He'd walk up and down the seashore, and one day when he was out doing that, doing, if you will, call it his devotion or maybe just his time alone with God, he was out there one day and he saw a little boy digging a big hole in the sand. And he had a little wooden bucket and he'd go over and get water and he'd try to pour it in there. And as Tertullian was walking by him over and over again, the little boy finally asked him, Sir, do you mind me asking, what are you doing? Tertullian asked the little boy, he says, well, listen, if you don't mind, I would like to ask you what you're doing. You keep grabbing water out of the ocean or the sea and putting it in this hole. And so Tertullian says, well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. He says, I'm out here and I'm trying to discover the mind of God. And the little boy says, well, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to fill this hole with that sea. And the little boy, in wisdom, said, I think both of our pursuits are futile. Because you in your infinite mind could never discover the whole mind of God, no more than I could fill this little hole with all of that sea. You know, as natural human beings, we will never, ever be able to discover all that there is to discover about God. Amen? But I will tell you this, God has given us everything we need to know in this book. Everything. And you know, God, and I'm glad God didn't, by the way, I'm very glad God didn't detail every little thing. You know, thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that. I've had so many people over the years say, well, where does the Bible say thou shalt not smoke? You know, well, you know, I smoked yesterday, amen? Yesterday? Yeah, I smoked yesterday. You're saying, Preacher, what are you saying? Well, we got some ribs and I put them in the smoker. Oh, were they good. Amen. God hasn't told us, you know, thou shalt not speed and thou shalt not, you know, do this or whatever. But God has given us principles that I believe apply to every area of life. And I'm glad he's just given us the principles, because it would be an awful long book to read, amen, every year if he put every little detail down. But he's given us the principles. He's given us everything. He's given us all of the things we need to know to live for him. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In our pursuit of God, we find a couple of distractions. Sin and self. The Bible also talks about us searching after Him with our whole heart. And you know, I think there's a lot of Christians, and I think a lot of times as Christians, we can, you know what we can do? We can sit around in our lazy boys, or we can come and sit in the pews. We can read our Bibles, or we can do whatever we think we have to do as our religious duty, and we can say, listen, I'm pursuing God. I'm doing everything I can do. But He's just not coming. I've just never felt that nearness and that closeness and that daily fellowship with God and to be walking with God. Well, you know what? The Bible here makes something very clear. The promise of finding is attached to the condition of seeking. And not only seeking, the Bible says that we are to seek with all our hearts. Listen, you know, there's a couple of examples in the Bible. Hagar, who when she was banished and she took her son and she went out into the desert where God, if you will, discovered Himself to her. She wasn't out there pursuing God. We find Moses there as well. One day, all of a sudden, you know, things where he was shepherding, he was happy with his life, everything seemed to be going well, and one day, suddenly, God discovered Himself to Moses. But you know what? If we're sitting around wondering, when is that going to happen to me? Listen, you're probably going to be waiting for an awful long time because it's not going to happen. We've got to pursue God, the Bible says. If we want to find Him, we have to pursue Him. You know, the prodigal must return to his father before he can receive the welcome home. Men are waiting for God to visit them, revival in themselves. They're waiting for all of these things to be brought to them, but they're not going to be brought to us. We have got to go and get them. We've got to go get them. God is waiting for us. And it is our part, brothers and sisters, it's our part to rise up and to go and to seek God. Most of us, or many of us, are disappointed because we've never found God. We've never had that closeness to God. And the reason is because we've only sought Him with half our heart. Or only maybe a little bit of our heart, or only just kind of, you know, we've prodded a little bit, but we've never sought God with all of our hearts. The heart, that's with sincerity, with spirituality, with the inward part of the man. And the Bible says with the whole heart, that's with singleness of purpose. Listen, I'm not pursuing anything else. I am not seeking anything else until I find God. And that's what it means with all of our heart. I'm not going to seek this. I'm not going to seek that worldly thing or this worldly thing. And when, you know, when I say worldly thing, it could be employment. Nothing wrong with employment, but listen, it's worldly. That's ultimately worldly. I got to find a new car. Seek God first. Don't have half your heart seeking this. I got to find a spouse. I'm 83 years old and not married yet. I got to find, that's where I've got, you know what? Seek God. Amen. With all of your heart. Listen, don't worry. God will take care of the car and the job and the marriage and all of the other things. Amen. Amen. The final question that I looked at or I asked you was the reward. What is the reward when we find what we're looking for? What are we going to get as Christians when we find God? Well, I'm going to say this right off the bat. God in Himself is the reward. God in Himself is the reward. You know what? We don't need $25 million. You're saying, preacher, I need $25 million. We don't need $1 million. Well, you know what? Another million wouldn't be bad. We're building a church building. Amen? Well, I think God's been pretty good to us. Amen? But God is the reward. God Himself is the reward. There was an archaeologist who lived about 100 years ago by the name of Howard Carter. He was searching in the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought did not exist. It was the tomb of King Tutankhamun. Most experts believe that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, but Carter continued to search. Eventually, after five more years without results, Carter's sponsor, Lord Carnarvon of England, declared that he would stop funding the search. November of 1922, during his final season of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramsay VI. He sent a cable back to England, which said, "At last, have made a wonderful discovery in Valley, a magnificent tomb with seals intact." Carter had indeed located the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever to be discovered. A treasure that most said wasn't there. After months of careful work, the golden treasures of the tomb were cataloged, and the first intact royal mummy ever found was removed from the place where it had rested for more than 3,000 years. Listen to this. Carter's search was driven by a firm belief that there was treasure to be found, though he could not be certain. He could not be certain he was correct. He was only going by faith and on a hunch and by a whim. But unlike Carter, we have an absolute guarantee of success when we search for God. Amen? Listen, we don't know other than by faith. People say, "How do you know God exists?" Well, I'll tell you this. He lives because He lives within my heart. Amen? I have tangible proof. But we live by faith. Carter had no idea. He could have listened to the critics and all the other scientists who said, "Listen, the tomb does not exist. Or it's undiscoverable." But he believed. And he pursued. And he was rewarded. God says, "Yeah, we've got to go by faith. We've got to go by faith. But we have promises of success if we simply believe what God says." Do we believe what God says? That if we search for Him with all of our hearts, the Bible says, He will be found. He will be found. Have we sought God with all of our hearts? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 14, the Bible says, "I will be found." You know, in our pursuit of God, do we have sin that's stopping us from success? Or is it that we've never pursued God with all of our heart? We've never put Him on the front burner. He's always been just kind of down there a little bit in our priorities. I've sought Him with some of my heart, but I've never sought Him with all of my heart. Sometimes we, in our own finite ways, we maybe are looking to unlock a universe. God says, "Listen, I'm not going to give you the keys to the universe. I'm going to give you the keys to a peanut. A little treasure. A little treasure in the hearts of a human being will go a long way." And you know, that's where we got to start, you know, when we're seeking for God. We got to start with a peanut. We got to start with just, "God, give me something. Just give me something to discover about You. And to walk close to You. And to have that fellowship with You every single day." And you know what? revival is not going to start in our own lives. You know, listen, maybe there's never going to be another revival until the Lord comes back as far as a national or a regional revival. But God, I believe that God will give you revival in your hearts. But it will not start until we do what we've seen this morning, until we seek God with all of it. Lay aside the world. Lay aside the sin. Lay aside the half-heartedness. And seek God with all of your hearts. Father, thank you for this time together today. And Lord, we truly are a blessed people to be given the promises that you've given us, but our hearts are so far. Oh God. They're so far from seeking you and loving you the way that they ought to. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today. Create in me a thirst. We seek you with all of our hearts. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for your goodness and your glory. And with everyone's head bowed and eyes are closed this afternoon, nobody's looking around. Could you, with an upraised hand, say, Pastor, I know by all certainty that I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I trusted Christ. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Would you be able to, again, nobody looking around. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. But you know where you are today, spiritually. Could you just say, Pastor, I'm not saved and I'm concerned. And would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I'm not saved. I never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you be here then as a Christian and say, Pastor, I believe that message was for me. My heart is far from God and I need to do something. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Father, we ask that you would revive our hearts. I pray that the Spirit of God would just work in our hearts and give us a burning passion for our Lord Jesus Christ today. To know Him and to walk with Him, to live for Him, for your glory and for your honor. We'll thank you and praise you for your goodness. And as we have this altar call, Lord, may you be blessed and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.